Round 1 and Round 2 by Flippy Spoon. Read by CookieMom6067. Jim Kirk was accustomed to beating people at chess, but it wasn't until he played against Lieutenant Spock that he found a checkmate and a handshake, followed by a goodnight lieutenant, to be unsatisfying. It felt oddly like there was something unfinished about each game, but he could not place why. When Jim lost, which did happen on occasion, he felt even more unsatisfied. There was always good conversation along with the chess. Jim was endlessly fascinated by Spock, but even given that, when they parted, Jim always felt like there was something else they were supposed to be doing. Sometimes Jim searched Spock's eyes, looking for an answer. On the 7th occasion of them playing chess, just a week before Jim was due back on the Farragut, as Spock stood and was clearly just about to give Jim a curt nod and a friendly thanks, Jim blurted out, "Wait a minute." Spock cocked his head. "Lieutenant?" Jim blinked up at Spock, formidable and tall, as he loomed over their table. "Nothing. Never mind. Good night, Mr. Spock." Spock gave him a funny look, hesitating long enough that Jim wondered if Spock felt the same sense of incompletion that he did, before he nodded and said, "Good night, Lieutenant." The next day, in the sparring room next to the gym, Kirk watched Spock fight Mbenga. Jim had just been doing some weight training. He felt wired up and sweaty. He loitered at the replicator, sipping a bottle of water as he surreptitiously watched them. Vulcans were stronger than humans, Jim knew. He also knew by now that Spock was half Vulcan, yet his strength was evident as he battled Mbenga, who more than held his own. They were capably matched. Finally, they were the only three left in the room, and Spock had Mbenga pinned. The doctor easily hopped to his feet and laughed as he nodded to Spock, taking care not to shake his hand. "Very good, Mr. Spock," Mbenga said, smiling. "I see you recall how I bested you in our last match." Kirk's eyes shot up. How was the doctor besting Spock in hand-to-hand combat? It made him curious about Mbenga's history. "Only after having watched you closely, Doctor," Spock bowed, and as he and the doctor chatted, Jim allowed himself the opportunity to gaze upon Spock and the way his tight black gym pants clung to his thighs and ass, and the slight heaving of his broad chest under a t-shirt. He drank a little more water, feeling far too hot. The doctor took his leave, and Jim, who never did anything without thinking about it intensely if quickly, watched himself wipe his mouth with his wrist and stride forward. "Mr. Spock, you up for another round?" Spock whipped around, blinking at him in surprise, and Jim stood up straight, tugging on the hem of his tank top. "Unless you're too tired," Jim grinned easily, delighted by the challenging eyebrow that raised in response. "I am not," Spock assured him. Without another word, he took a readying stance across from Jim, who planted his feet and kept his eyes steady on Spock's. They remained there, across from each other on the mat, slightly crouched, for so long that Jim started to think about various strategies to make Spock move. But he kept still, frozen, willing Spock to make a move first. His stare did not stray. 2 full minutes passed and became a battle of wills. Jim did not smile. He breathed, tensed, ready to respond, his mouth a straight line. It was difficult not to become distracted, both by Spock's form and his eyes, which seemed to draw Jim in. "I will do this all night," Jim thought. The corner of his mouth crept up before Spock finally caved, yet there was no hesitation or fault in his movement as he struck, a palm strike shooting out that Jim deflected. Inwardly, he triumphed that Spock had moved first. Then they were off. Spock's movements were sure, swift, and stealthy. Jim was blunt and forceful, but he did not lack for swiftness. He also had a tendency to attack with his entire body. Spock swept his leg, and Jim leapt over it, grabbing Spock and bringing him to the ground. Then it was a wrestling match, and Jim could tell Spock was less experienced when he was down on the deck. It was to Jim's advantage, and he took it reflexively, wrapping a leg around Spock's and twisting to get himself in a more dominant position. They were alone in the sparring room, the only sound, their panting breaths, and the thwap of limbs hitting the mat. Jim got on top of Spock and just as quickly got flipped onto his stomach. Jim caught Spock in the chest with an elbow, an inelegant if effective move that took Spock by surprise, and he threw himself back, rolling them both over. He was working purely on instinct, not allowing himself enough mind to ask why he challenged Spock to a fight, and why playing chess was just not quite enough, when a stray thought sprang up in his mind. Just keep touching me. He flung the thought away violently, resisting, just as he was now resisting Spock, who was attempting to pin him again. Cool breath in Jim's ear, a dense Vulcan body pressed against his, though he was half on his side, awkwardly splayed on the mat. Jim shut his eyes and summoned all his strength, flipping them over again, forcing Spock to scramble without his usual grace. Spock grunted, and there was something satisfying about causing him to make such a rough and human sound. His movement was suddenly hesitant, uncertain. Jim raised his head, seeing for the briefest moment a flash of something in Spock's eyes that Jim couldn't name. Kirk stayed focused, and that tiny bit of hesitation was enough. He got Spock on his back again and straddled him, gripping Spock's wrists above his head. Spock, Jim knew, could easily push him off, but he didn't. Spock stayed fixed, staring up at him, his chest heaving, their breaths mingling. Jim could not help smiling now as he gazed down at Spock. "You're stronger than this," he said, panting. "Aren't you?" "It would not be a fair fight," Spock said. Jim took some measure of satisfaction that Spock was at least out of breath. "Otherwise..." "Right," Jim swallowed, attempting to ignore the press of Spock's body against his. "That's really annoying." That eyebrow again. So amused. "Fuck, he's beautiful," Jim thought. "My apologies," Spock said, in that low and absurdly sexy voice of his. Jim shifted slightly, and Spock drew in a sharp breath that made Jim's cock twitch, and only then did he fully realize that he was already half hard, and Spock must know that. He felt himself flush, mortified, and began to move away, but Spock gripped his hands tighter, and his thighs came up, entrapping Jim's hips. Spock did not speak, but he raised his head, his eyes fixed on Kirk's, waiting. The reality of the moment hit Jim like a torpedo to the head, and he gasped in surprise before experimentally grinding down into Spock, whose lips parted, an olivey flush dancing across his cheeks. Jim moved again and felt Spock's hardness against his own, arousal fiery in his blood as he ground down harder and with purpose, watching Spock react. Spock's breath short as he writhed under Jim, his eyes were dark and wide. Jim breathed and whispered, "Oh, fuck," as Spock threw his head back and Jim lunged forward to lick the long column of pale throat beneath him, the two of them moving against each other in tandem. Jim let go of Spock's hands and then came up to clutch his bare shoulders, nails digging in as Jim bit Spock's throat, half hysterically chasing a fast and dirty climax as they moved together. Spock's hands were under his shirt then, sliding up his sweaty back, and Jim moved, delirious, enthralled. "Jim," Spock murmured. "Jim, please." Spock had never called him anything but Lieutenant, yet there was something so right about it that drove Jim further. He mouthed sloppily along the line of his jaw to his lips, pausing to stop and look in his eyes again, realizing he was trembling. "Oh, I really know you," he breathed, before covering Spock's mouth with his own. His body seemed to be moving independently of his mind as his lips slid against Spock's, and then his tongue felt Spock's tongue, densely muscular, arms embracing him as Spock came while Jim licked inside his mouth. "I know you, I know you, I know you," Jim thought. "Why do I know you?" He was shaking along with Spock, still hard and vibrating with need, and he hardly knew what was happening before Spock had rolled them over in cool, deft hands, wrenched up his shirt, lips sliding down his chest. Spock pulled down his workout pants and briefs, and then a brilliant mouth engulfed him, making him see stars. He clenched his fists, shouting as he tipped his head back and arched up off the mat, even as Spock held him down. Spock's tongue curled around him, and it was less than a minute before Jim was coming harder than he had in ages, and somewhere in the back of his mind he wondered why he was seeing his whole life, as well as the promise of his future viscerally flashed through his mind just from a blowjob. He was breathless, tears in his eyes as Spock drank him down before neatly pulling up Jim's briefs and pants and collapsing next to him. They lay in companionable silence until Jim finally said, "Spock, have you? Is this something you've been thinking about?" "Yes," Spock said softly. Jim tittered, and finding Spock's hand on the mat, he held it in his and tried not to think about how he was returning to the Farragut in only a week. "Well," Jim muttered, "if that was our round one, I thoroughly hope there's a round two." Yet there was no round two, and a week later Jim Kirk returned to the Farragut. Jim was not one to cry over lost chances, but for weeks following his return he kept to his quarters once ship's business was taken care of, and often sat thinking of Spock and what might have been, feeling once again quite unsatisfied. Time and time again he sat down to record a message to Spock or to write him a letter to impulsively get him on subspace. But he did not, and time passed. And then one day, he was captain of the Enterprise. The pomp and circumstances of the Enterprise's launch on its new 5-year mission with its new, fresh-faced young captain was all a blur for Jim. It was not until he was sitting in the chair on his first alpha shift that it even felt completely real. Upon his arrival, his department heads had greeted him. This included Spock, who Jim greeted with a ta'al instead of a handshake this time. He stayed firmly professional, yet just as friendly as he had been with all the remaining crew from Pike's Enterprise. Yet inwardly, he couldn't help searching Spock's eyes for some sign. Was it all water under the bridge? Spock gave him nothing. He was welcoming in his reserved way, but if he was trying to tell Jim anything with his fathomless dark eyes, Jim couldn't read it. Still, it was a thrill. Here he was, captain of the flagship, just as he'd always dreamed, and there was something so right about Spock being there, too. "We are approaching the Lima Nebula, Captain," Spock said from his console. "Thank you, Mr. Spock. On screen." A swirling turquoise and purple nebula appeared on the view screen, and Spock stepped down from his console to stand next to Jim's chair, his hands clasped behind his back. "That's a beauty, isn't it?" Jim said. "It is remarkable, Captain." Spock spared him a glance, and Jim thought to himself, maybe this is enough. The first alpha shift went by so fast Jim could have sworn it was only an hour. He went poking around the ship, getting to know it all over again, but before he knew it, he found himself exhausted from the day and forced himself to head back to his quarters, yawning and stripping off his tunic and his undershirt, even as his door whooshed open. He was just about to order himself up a meal when his door pinged, and somehow he knew exactly who it was before they made themselves known. "Come in." Jim stood in the middle of the room, and his heart began to thud as Spock walked in. He suddenly felt a little naked without his shirt on. "Spock," Jim murmured, and felt very foolish for the way he sounded. Spock's eyes fixed on the floor, and he stopped short a few feet away from Jim. "Apologies, sir. I am sure you are quite fatigued after..." "No, it's fine. Did you want to talk about something?" He was suddenly very awake and found he didn't know what to do with his hands. For the first time since seeing him again, Spock looked uncertain, as if he had no idea at all why he'd shown up at Jim's quarters. Jim found this encouraging. Spock cleared his throat, and in the low, soft tones that had spoken to him over a chessboard back in Pike's day, he said, "I wanted to ensure you have everything you require, and also I..." Spock swallowed. "It is very good to see you again, Captain." Jim had wondered nearly every day since they'd parted, and usually multiple times every day, if Spock still thought of him. He was beginning to think Spock had. "It's good to see you too." Jim took a tentative step forward. "Actually, there is something I'd like to say to you." "Yes?" Spock's eyes widened slightly, just enough that Jim noticed because he was watching so closely. "Yes. I just wanted to say how glad I was when I was notified you'd be staying on." Jim spoke formally, yet inside he was rapidly losing all composure. "It's your first day, idiot. You can't just do this." But his mouth was running away from him at high speed. "Initially," Jim went on, "I was a little concerned that you might find yourself uncomfortable." "I am not uncomfortable," Spock said, taking a small step forward. "Good. That's good. Are you uncomfortable, Captain?" Spock said. I find myself exceedingly comfortable," Jim said softly. "I find myself... I'm just so glad you're here, Spock." "As am I," Spock said evenly. I have thought of you often." "Have you?" Jim didn't really mean to take a tiny step forward himself. Spock licked his lips. "It is most curious. I knew precisely what I had planned to say, and I have forgotten it now that you are here. I am not prone to forgetting anything. My memory is unusually impeccable." "Curious," Jim repeated. "Spock." "Yes." Spock's gaze was steady. "You must know that, despite whatever I might feel..." He shook his head and tried again. "As captain, you know I can't be the one to... Do you see what I'm trying to say?" "No." Jim barked a laugh and said, "Spock, you..." But he didn't finish because Spock's arms had slid around him and Spock was kissing him, and Jim's knees buckled as he clutched Spock's biceps, holding him close. "Regulations," Jim murmured against Spock's cool lips. "Are deliberately vague, Captain," Spock whispered. "I have studied them." He nudged Jim's mouth open, his hands then sliding up Jim's back. Jim's tongue teased Spock's, and Spock emitted something like a purr, which only made Jim hold him tighter. Spock broke away again and said, "I studied them at length, in case of this eventuality." "This eventuality?" Jim grinned. He felt like he was floating. "Round two, I believe you called it," Spock said. "Would that be agreeable, Jim?" Kirk pecked another soft kiss to Spock's and slid his arms around Spock's neck. "Yes, Spock, I think that would be very satisfying." The end.